A young woman people can't stop talking about.
Go Taylor.
Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift.
Yes, Taylor Swift.
Swift.
Ish.
What just happened?
Hey guys, welcome back to Swiftish. It's been a long time coming, but we're here. We've returned.
This is
Shelby.
And this is Ashley.
I know. It's been a while. I mean, it's been a while. It's been a whirlwind. You've been super busy with work, and we've both been busy with our kids, and Taylor's been busy making waves and problems and questionable choices and also silence and lots of stuff and a double album for once. And we know it's been a lot, and obviously we've been doing this for 7 years.
Since 2017.
Yeah. Absolutely insane. Wild, wild, wild. I know, it's funny. We've gotten like a few different, like you've gotten a message, I've gotten a message about like people who have just found our discography, our back catalog, our deep dive into Reputation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's funny to see people react to that and be like, I literally don't remember where I was then, like what like phase of life, like what I was thinking. I think we probably said some embarrassing things. We made some wrong guesses. We made some good guesses. You know, someone just messaged me about the So It Goes theory still. So I feel like we've done important work.
We have. We've done a lot of great work.
Yeah, and it's been so fun. I think obviously we've been, you know, missing in action over the last few weeks, and it's sad news, but also a happy new chapter. We're gonna end the podcast.
I don't know if this is surprising to anybody, because we haven't been recording as much. We haven't been as active as much, and honestly, when we first started this podcast, I think there were only maybe two or three other Taylor Swift podcasts, and a few of them weren't even that active. And so it was fun to kind of like grow in that space. But in the past year or two with TikTok, and just with like more people becoming more obsessed with Taylor because of her rise to fandom, there has been a significant bump in Taylor Swift podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And not only like fan-made Taylor Swift podcasts, like I'm thinking of like the 13 podcast, like heavily produced,
the Ringer podcast,
the Ringer, money behind it. And, you know, like
time,
just the time that they can put into it. And I just, you know, we've done so much, and we are like forever going to be grateful for everything. But, you know, it's time for, you know, us to fly on and move on to different things. You guys, Shelby will be over on PS You're Wrong for I don't know how long, forever.
I don't either.
And you can, you guys can still get her hot take on Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
So, and
yeah,
maybe exactly. I'll, if she drops the third album, maybe I'll pop up and tell you guys my thoughts.
Yeah.
Who knows? Yeah. What's gonna happen.
I know. It's hard to not have like a firm, like, you know, necessarily like a firm reason why now, or to feel kind of like, I already have FOMO at the idea of not doing this with the new music and whatnot. But I think it just makes sense with where we are in our lives, and also our feelings about Taylor and how she's kind of navigating that public facing place now. Like the dialogue's just shifted so much from the Reputation era to now, and her sort of front or fan facing persona has changed a lot too. It'll be interesting to see how she navigates like this next era, but right now it's been sort of like she's living her life, and she'll do it, you know, out loud, and like, you know, she's going to restaurants, going to football games and whatnot, but it's not necessarily like we're still not doing interviews. It seems like, you know, she barely promoted Tortured Poets Department in a traditional sense of like performances or whatnot, so it seems like she's kind of taking a step back too. So we figured we'd take a bow too, you know, like go out strong.
And she's still doing so much that people can talk about, but it's just in a different light.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like, and we've done so many paternity tests on her songs, and I do feel like getting
so many, what is it? sanctimonious soliloquies that she'll never hear. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, we are definitely the Hannahs and I forget the other person's. The Sarahs and the Hannahs are clutching our pearls. Like, it's the way she's writing is a little bit, it has been different. The way she's viewing her fans are different. And some, you know, sometimes, like, as you grow up, the way you view your favorite artist is different. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely been a time of growth for Taylor, Shelby, and I.
Yeah, for sure. We share that in common, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, you guys, there's so many other podcasts that are so great that are going to be covering Taylor's ever living step, everything she's doing. So, you know.
You won't miss us, but.
It's a Swiftish goodbye, but it's not a goodbye forever because, P.S., you're wrong. We still have our social media platform, so.
Yeah. And we're hoping that this episode at least is a good note to end on.
Hopefully, because this, this is a hot mess. Because this is a hot mess. This album. We wanted to give you guys our thoughts on the album, and I'm still reeling from it all. Shelby has written her blog about it. She has talked with Matt on PS You're Wrong about it. So she's I feel like you've really kind of you've analyzed it. You're kind of in a place. I'm still like, what's going on? How am I throughout the whole album, so high school goes, I kind of drift off just because my attention span, I'm like, oh wait, I have to go work. Like it's a long period.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's the longest. I mean, we finally got the double album, right? I mean, I say we. Swifties at large have been throwing around this idea of a secret double album.
Yes. But here's my thought on the secret double album. They've been saying it, since Reputation, that we're going to have a secret double album. So when people are like, we're finally right, I'm like, yeah. Also, is it a double album or is it just another bonus, tons of bonus tracks?
Well, Taylor calls it a double album. So I
guess she does. But
that's what we're calling it.
I know.
I feel like if it's a double album, then she has to release the second part on a physical album, but there's been no word of that. So
exactly. Maybe there
that's just my technical measurement. I don't know if that's a rule.
Do you know that there's rumors of a third album coming out? I'm exhausted. We're ending it at this episode. If there's a third album coming out, like, P.S. You're Wrong. Maybe I'll, I don't know.
It's too much. I mean, I think we've talked about like our excitement or hesitations about this album. Mm-hmm. And so when it came out, it was sort of like a bad time for both of us. You were working like crazy. I was at my brother's like wedding weekend. And this album is not the vibes. Like it's not wedding weekend vibes.
You were traveling. I was traveling. I was in Boston at an all-day conference on the East Coast of all times. Like, was so exhausted, could not stay up till midnight.
Yeah.
At all. And this is not a bop wedding song. Like,
no, it's not. It's not getting ready to celebrate love, really. But so I was sort of like, I only listened to a few songs and it was kind of like a disappointment right off the bat just because I was hoping for something more easily digestible, like something more akin to, you know, even all of her past albums have been less concerned with the words and more focused on a holistic
She did vision. Give us the warning that we want to bring our dictionaries out.
Yeah, she knew. She was like, this is poetry, okay? Yeah. Words first, music second. And so I was kind of like, whatever. And when I was first listening to it, I was like, some of this is really clunky, like especially the first few songs. She's like squeezing a lot of details onto a very sparse produced track. Like, oh, you took the ring off my finger and put it on the finger that usually wedding rings go on this finger.
Yes.
And I was like, girl, there's gotta be a way to streamline this message. And so I was kind of like, ugh, you know, like turned off of it. And then I saw someone say that it's less about like a sugar-coated dessert. Like it's not something you binge. It's a savory treat. And you have to like sort of treat it like a fine wine, take sips here and there, appreciate the process rather than just guzzle it for your own enjoyment. And it's that helped me kind of reframe. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yes. It's not 1989. It's not Reputation. It's not even like Lover, Midnights. Like, even looking at Folklore and Evermore, those are slower, more folksy, obviously singer-songwriter driven. But there's so many musical elements at play, and the stories are so like insular that mm-hmm. you can listen to Betty and get the idea. You can listen to Cardigan and be swept up in it. You can listen to My Tears Ricochet, and even if you don't know totally what's going on, you're like present in this moment before getting, you know, you only have 3 minutes to spend there, and then they whisk you on to the next. Whereas mm-hmm. there's a lot of similar sounds, or at least mm-hmm. it blends together. And I think on some degree it's intentional, because like I said, it's much more concerned with the quote unquote poetry than it is on the music, or like making mm-hmm. it, you know, like a beat. And so it is very sparse, and so that allows it to bleed together. But also it's very focused on a singular like 6 week window in Taylor Swift's life. And mm-hmm. so the messages and the stories all start to feel pretty repetitive too.
Yeah. And if I'm being honest, you know, people are going to scream, "But Daddy, I love him," at me. I understand that she has had this time in the last maybe 2 to 3 albums that she's created to really process the end of Joe. Even though yeah. she was still together with him, she was ready to leave him. There was, you can just, when you look at Folklore and Evermore, and she makes that argument at the front that she is, this is the first time she's ever really dived into storytelling. She really wanted to say, this is not real. But when you look at it based off of what you know now, you kind of see, she's Taylor Swift. She's an artist. She is drawing from inspiration. I know she yeah. said from other people's lives, but I feel like to protect her and Joe's relationship that was still going, I don't know how strong,
yeah.
she put that caveat folklore over it. Like, okay, let's,
yeah.
let's filter this. This is she's somebody like, else. It's not yeah. me. And so she's already kind of done with that relationship. We do get a few Joe, we get like 1 or 2 Joe songs. We do get mention of him. But I still was not expecting this to be a 75% to 80% album about Maddie Healy.
Yeah.
But when you think back, I was talking to my friend who got divorced after like 3 years, and she was like, you know, she's already processed that. She's like, this guy who she kind of like was hoping to move on with, she was feeling these feelings she hasn't felt in a long time. You know, she was in deep. She was down bad. And then when you think of that, and then you also remember that there was something that we really don't know, but something happened in 2015, 2014, some kind of spark, some kind of fling. We don't necessarily know what it is. There's always that what could have been, what should have been. Like, okay, like we could be together, like maybe one day. Because it wasn't a closure. It was more of like the door was still left open a bit. And so when you think of that, you're like, okay, I get it, but it was 6 weeks and
yeah, no, the Maddie Healy pill is hard to swallow. I mean, I think, and that's what I've been on, that's the journey I've been on as I've dug yeah. into this album, is I feel kind of like that kombucha girl meme where I'm like, oh, I like this song, and then I'll be like, oh, this yes. is about Maddie Healy, and then yeah. I'll be like, well, but I understand like where she was in her brain, and I'm like, but it's Maddie Healy. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I like vacillate between understanding and wanting to give grace to Taylor Swift's frame of mind at that point. But then when so many songs are so defensive and ultimately very unapologetic about liking or wanting this problematic guy, and having the issue not be that, oh, he is toxic, oh, he is a douche, oh, he does tell these revolting jokes and I got sick of it, but rather she's just mad that he left her.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily giving what I want it to give as far as the learning and growth of our girl Taylor. Because it's
do you think anywhere within this album, because I was talking to a girlfriend last night, do you think anywhere within this album she is playing the victim?
Oh, I mean,
because
it depends how you define playing the victim, but
yeah,
but she she is. Like, I guess I don't mean that in like, she's like, feel bad for me. I think in her mind, she's like, you made me feel bad. And that's what she's focused on.
You made me feel bad. It wasn't, because she doesn't really, like, he might be one of the most hated men around, but she doesn't really, it's not like Jake Gyllenhaal all too well. You know, it's not giving that feeling, but it's giving the gaslit. It's giving the 2024 online dating.
Love bombing.
Love bombing, gaslighting version. Like that, like, it's giving that, and it's like so different. And my friend was like, because throughout the album, I was like, oh, I hate she's playing the victim. My mind did not go there at all. But my friend, who isn't a huge Swiftie, appreciates her writing, appreciates her as an artist. She was like, she's 34 years old. Like she's still playing the victim.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah, it's tough to say. Because I think also what works against her is that with past relationships, she like pulled the curtain back on bad behavior. Like, obviously John Mayer had a reputation, but there were more details in like, wait, I was 19 and you were doing this to me. Or like Jake Gyllenhaal, it's like he might have been a playboy, but it was like, ooh, that's gotta hurt. But with these songs about Matty Healy, it's like, yeah, girl, we all knew this was how he would behave. Like, there's nothing surprising about it. And so you're like, you literally should have known better. Like, it's like, you know, all the red flags were there.
And I think her being so defensive is showing that she knows she should have known better.
Yeah. Well, that's what's so fascinating. That's
the worst.
Yeah. It's like, because in her announcement, like on Instagram, her like letter, she's like, oh, this is about like the self-inflicted, like this is about the wounds, sometimes self-inflicted. So there is like a level of awareness. And I also do think that something that's fascinating about this album that I'm not sure is intentional or that I'm not sure totally works is that seems to be using the Matty situation to process the Joe situation. And so there's almost this sort of like, well, this is the problem in front of me and it's proving X, Y, and Z about the problems behind me. And I'm obsessed with this falling apart again and again and again. And there's a universe in which I would have found that very like potent and kind of heartbreaking and even relatable. But the fact that it takes 31 songs for her to go through this journey, I'm like, I think you could have gotten there in 5. You know, like it's like, I think she doesn't want to, she respects probably Joe a little too much to give more than what she gave, which isn't this heartbreaking that this ended and I'm not even quite sure what went wrong, like how we went from daylight, lover, like, you know, oh, I can't wait to spend forever with you, I'm stuck to you like a stitch, like all of this to do something, say something, risk something. I think that sort of breakup and 6 years of commitment and all of that kind of proves that there's heartbreak and there's anger and there's frustration at the work and the loss. It's not the same easy target that it is to be like, hey, douchebag, like I was ready to ride this like toxic wave of bad press with you and you ghosted me. Like that's not cool. And yeah, it's just unfortunate because it feels like while I think the work is her writing her feelings in the moment, she didn't prove that she did further work to be like, oh, well, I guess I can see why he is actually not great. And like, instead of just like making a throwaway line about like, oh, yeah, his revolting jokes are far too loud. Like, it's like, girl.
Yeah, she just didn't have. With Joe, like I mentioned, she had the 6 years and within that 6 year relationship to really process that it was over. And it wasn't like he left her. Like it wasn't like this over in the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
With Matty, it was hot, fast, furious, and then he ghosted her. So of course she's gonna have more rage and more like elevated feelings.
Yeah.
Towards that, whereas she had 6 years of seems just like at the past 2 years were like, you know, 1 hour of sunshine. like, yeah, kind of depression. And when you look at, like, and everyone was saying, oh, it's a tortured poets department, and they were calling homage to Joe's GroupMe or whatever chat he had. Yeah. But when I'm thinking of it, it's like, she is a tortured poet, but, like, she's also like, the past 7 years has been, like, just kind of like a force field of just other tortured poets coming to her. Like, you yeah. have Joe, and then she goes to another tortured poet, which is Maddie Healy. Like, it's just, it's refreshing in my mind. I know everyone, I know some people roll their eyes, but it's refreshing my mind that she is with Travis Kelce right now. I'm like,
he knows how to ball. She knows Aristotle.
Give me that album. I am very excited yeah. for the Travis Kelce album.
Yeah. Well, Upbeat. Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, hopefully. I mean, you get the alchemy here and you get So High School, which I yeah. do not like the alchemy. I like So High School. Can't imagine being 34 and thinking it's hot to be touched while your bros play Grand Theft Auto, but to each their yeah. own. No. yeah. But I do think it's like, if this were anyone else, it'd be a lot easier for me to stomach what was going on here. And mm-hmm. I think maybe that's her point. In trying to lay down, like, you guys don't actually know the half of it type thing. But it's like, at the end of the day, he's a problematic little freak. But I think her epilogue at the end helps contextualize what she's hoping to do with this album, where she's talking about, like, she writes this poem that's like, oh, I'd like to make a plea for temporary insanity. It was out of the oven and into the microwave. And it's like, I think that what she's saying is that they both hurt her, but at different speeds, at different, like, levels of heat, at different, like, explosive tendencies. And so the story is almost the same. It's just one's played in slow motion and one's played in hyperspeed. And so they both abandoned her. They both made her feel confused. Like, she felt led on by both of them for different reasons. Mm-hmm. And so while this reads like a parade of red flags about Maddie Healy specifically, I think when you get into the lyrics, there's a lot more of Joe in each of the songs.
Yep.
And so it yep. does become sort of like this post-mortem, like she promised. And I think that's an interesting choice that was made. And I wonder if it wasn't Maddie, if I would appreciate it more.
Mm-hmm.
But since it was Maddie, I'm like, this is your man, you know?
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like you were saying, there's definitely a Joe sprinkled into this. And like, what if she was writing it about, like, Tom Hiddleston? You're just yeah. kind of, you know, you just kind of think of, like, the rebound guy. And there are a lot of reasons why she probably was like, oh, I'm going to go to Maddie. Like, probably a little bit different than Joe personality-wise. It sounds like he was on a lot of pills. And so he probably was on a lot of uppers, a lot more excited, wasn't as blue as she's painted Joe to be. So just a little
I think
more
it's also
excitement.
Like, she's getting so much validation from him, whereas Joe, well, she's like, oh, I'll give you my wild. I'll sit here, like, all I want is your sweet nothings.
I'll bend
whereas
to your
Maddie
will.
Comes
yeah.
in and he's like, oh, I love you. You're the American girl of my dreams. Like, I've been waiting for you. I promised I'd grow up and come find you. And, like, you know, we were just kids when we first met, but, like, now I'm ready. Like, I'm ready, girl. Yeah. Like, and that is, like, frustrating. Like, honestly, I don't know if this is a hot take, but it reminds me of Ivy from Evermore,
mm-hmm.
which is a song about someone having an affair, but more it's, like, this emotional affair. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to prescribe that, like, you know, something happened with them literally, but I think there was a reconnection. You know, she showed up oh. and performed at his show.
Yep. Yeah. And, well, you have Guilty as Sin, which kind of writes yeah. out that, like,
exactly,
while she was not physically with him, like, yeah. she was imagining she was with him, she was wanting him, she was dreaming yeah. about him, she was fantasizing about him.
Yeah.
So emotionally,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. She was checked out of the Joe relationship. And so she became consumed with this idea, well, if I'm going to, like, set fire to my lover house, at mm-hmm. least it'll be for a reason. Like, they can't fault me for that. And so she, I mean, obviously you don't know the timeline of, like, oh, well, and we were on a break, whatever. But I think that there was enough of an emotional deadness that she was like reinvigorated by this love bombing from someone in her past who had been like a what if, or even like a, oh, well, we had a spark and now I saw him again at a party and like, what is that going to do for me?
So, I feel like he was a motivation for her to finally end things with Joe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Like, cause it, you know, throughout this album, there's that lyric where she was like, she kept on pulling him back in while Joe was leaving, but then he blamed her for ending
like fresh
it.
Out like, the slammer. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And so like, I do think it was like, oh wait, there's life after this.
Yeah.
I'm not dead. Like I can go to this. And so it is easier. And so many people say it's easier to leave somebody when you know where you're going next.
Yeah.
Because you're not alone. Yeah.
Especially for such a romantic and like someone who's been obsessed with not only love, but like proof of love. And so like so much of the Joe seems to come down to this, like, I was waiting for a son. I died on the altar waiting for you. Like she literally wanted a symbol of their commitment and she wasn't getting it. And so to have someone come in and be like, oh, I bet we'll have kids soon. Oh my gosh. Like, look at us playing with our wedding rings. Like, yes, like, you know, it's it for me, girl. Like there's a potency to that sort of drug. And I think that's what comes up in her Fortnite music video when she takes the forget me pill.
Yeah. Temporary.
Yeah. She's back like,
temporary.
Yeah. What is it? Is it the forget me pill or is it the, I don't remember. I honestly don't like the music.
She takes a pill. There's a pill. I don't know if she's
necessarily, the label somewhere, but
I don't necessarily know if she's singing about it in Fortnite, but I know there is a pill.
Yeah. I know. So I think it's just like this idea that he became the sort of like hopeful light at the end of the tunnel, like a salvation or like rescue ship for her. And so she went all in on it. And to the point of like having her good name tarnished, but she's like, well, watch me, like, you know, and then he being the one to leave probably bruised her ego quite a bit.
I don't know what song it's on, and maybe because there's just so many, and you probably will know the one where she sings how it's like a direct callback to Blank Space. Like, she can make this devil like have a halo.
Yeah, he can fix him.
Yes,
I can fix him. No, really, I can.
Yeah, so it's just like she knows, like she knows going into it that,
yeah,
he's not a good guy, but he's saying everything that she's been wanting to hear from Joe and giving her all this validation that she's wanted so desperately. And I do think that is one reason why she fell, like she was down bad for him, was because of like the hole in her heart that was because of her and Joe.
Yeah.
Because when I'm looking at, like, looking at this, and I'm like, I guess I'm blaming the victim here. I'm just like, there's so many red flags. Like, how could you, like, you go, like, you never get into a relationship if it's too fast, too furious. It's going to burn. It's going to burn down. Yeah. But then I'm like, okay, but in that situation, I might have done the same thing.
Yeah, no. I mean, that's the thing, right? Is it's like, you read her poem, you understand the idea, and you're like, okay, I get it. Like, rebounds are hell. And it's like, I also understand this idea of being in a place now where she just wants the conversation to stop. She wants people to know, actually, there's no bad blood. There's no grievances. Like, please don't go after these people. It's over. And so she's kind of like vomiting up every single passing thought she had during that little brief stint of this trifecta of a perfect storm. And that's how she's processing it. That's how she's letting us process it. And now she's like, please, like, that's the postmortem. I plead guilty by insanity. Just let it go and let me move on. And I think there's just too many moments on this album where she comes across like kind of immature, very selfish, very self-centered. That it's hard for me to fully appreciate the musical moments. And especially that it's about someone like Maddie Healy, where she's trying to say, like, you guys took it too far and like he just likes to tell jokes, like get over it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that there's necessarily it's not necessarily endearing me to her more at this point. But I think it is interesting kind of how it was received by everyone.
Whereas a lot of her music has been very relatable.
Yeah.
In the past few years, I do feel like this has been relatable to some people who, some fans. I definitely do think that. But there are some people who are like, I can't relate to this at all. Like we were warning you. But and I was talking to my friends about this last night, and I was like, the thing with me is that I will gossip about you. I'll talk about you whether your life is great and whether your life is bad. Like, you know,
equality.
It's not going to change. Like right now, you might be making some stupid decisions, but oh my gosh, your shoes 2 weeks ago on point. You were looking great. You did a great presentation. Like, it's just everyone's going to talk about Taylor Swift, whatever she's doing, and if they don't think she's making good decisions, that will. I don't know. And I feel bad. I do. After I listened to But Daddy, I Love Him, I was like, oh. Like, she chose the, like, biggest, whitest girls' names, Hannah and Sarah. And I was like, Shelby and Ashley? Yeah. Yeah.
But I think it's, like, I actually value the ones where she looks terrible. Like, I think But Daddy, I Love Him and Who's Afraid of Little Old Me and, what is the other Fresh Off the Slammer or stuff like that. I like seeing Taylor admit that she's selfish at times. She's not very like concerned with other people, that she's annoyed by elements of her fame that go beyond like, will you ever like me again type thing. Like for so many years, we've gotten a very polished look at her. And you know, the Miss Americana documentary started to pull that apart where she's like, oh, I was the good girl for so long. But you also still saw a lot of this, like, I won't be relevant when I'm 30. And, like, you know, sort of this, like, this sort of, like, whimsical fear-mongering where she's like, oh, we just are always torn down. And, like, all I really care about is love. And, you know, but then at the same time, she's crying when Reputation isn't nominated for a Grammy. She's like, I've got to do better. Lover sees her just overselling it. Just boom, 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 boom. And it wasn't until Folklore and Evermore that she realized, like, regroup, restart. Like, I just like making music. I want that to be my main driving force. And as she became even more popular from that, I wonder what that did to her psyche. Because it seemed like with Miss Americana, she was playing into this rehab. I think it was authentic and, like, real. But it was a rehabilitation of her image as, one, a good girl, and two, this misunderstood victim of Snakegate and all that. But there was a performative element to it where she's like, see, I'm trying and you can't fault me for it, and society makes it so hard for me type thing. And so I like that she's more open about, like, actually, you guys freaking piss me off. Like, I don't want you in my house listening to this album and saying I don't want to interact with your stupid tumblers. I don't actually care what you have to say on your dumb TikToks. Like, just, we don't have a relationship, and I need you guys to freaking remember that. And I loved that for her. I was like, yeah, I mean, that's your prerogative, right? Like, you're doing this for Matty Healy, but, like, I can't fault you for finally drawing a line or a boundary in, like, what you're going to pretend to put up with. And, like, that's what's fascinating about this album is I think she's working to take herself down a few notches. And I find that fascinating because she's been someone who's been so obsessed with reaching the next level. And now I think there's this awareness that she's coming off of this huge global tour. She's coming off of being the first single artist nominated to win four Grammys for Album of the Year. She is at a peak that I think realistically she knows that she cannot top because it is literally Mount Everest. And so I think there's a side of her where she's like, I know what happens when there's this over obsession with loving everything I do. I want people to see me as human. I need people to remember that I'm not perfect. And you know what? I don't want this bar to be the thing that people judge me against for the rest of my life. So I will self, not self-sabotage, but maybe like willingly put out an album that I know will not be universally liked, that I know will be harder for the general public to appreciate, that I know will get people talking about things that don't necessarily paint me in the greatest light of Maddie Healy or, you know, her fan relationships or her Olivia Rodrigo stuff. Like, I think there was an element of like, well, I don't want to be torn down again. So let me just take a step back from my like peak perfect image mm-hmm. and add some grit and dirt to it.
Yeah. I do find it interesting that she is like, wait, like talk with to her fans, like, I don't know you, I don't care about you. Like, she obviously doesn't say it like that, but like had mentioned, giving off that vibe, whereas she has created her career off of being a quote unquote best friend and knowing her fans and connecting with her fans. But we have seen this, she's the separation. Since Lover, she's really separated herself from her fans. And I feel like that's like, she's kind of making it even known here. Like, you know, like I'm an artist and you want to see me fail. Like, you want to see my life be gray. Like, you build us up to tear us down.
I know that that's like, I joke about it because it's like, the more time I spend listening or engaging with Taylor Swift, the less I kind of like her as a person, as a human being. But then that in turn makes me maybe like respect her a little bit more. Like, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to sit here and pretend you have a hard life because you don't. And I recognize that fame and fortune brings its own set of problems, but they're not real problems, right? Like, you have time to write 31 tracks for an album because you have nothing else to do, right? Like, you are just able to create for creation's sake. And that's not to diminish like her tour or the thought she puts into like...
You have to say that because people will come at you and be like, but
she's very productive and she's very busy, but she doesn't have to worry about bills. She doesn't have to worry about, you know, housing. She doesn't have to worry about what she's having for dinner. She doesn't have to worry about like, getting like, you know, her life is singularly focused on her work, which is her enjoyment. And like, and so she gets to just be creative and to... Mm-hmm. enjoy that. And so I want to preface any sort of discussion around like how hard it is to be Taylor Swift with like that reminder that she's fine and she could quit tomorrow. People would forget her in 4 years and she could live in her little rose garden. You know, she could choose Woodvale over Madison Square. I mean, she's far surpassed Madison Square, but you get the point. And so it's like, I do actually like a lot of songs on this album.
Yeah, me too.
I've come around to it. And I think I appreciate that sort of return to the detail work, the digging in, the diaristic elements of her songwriting. And so that surprised me, is that I actually did come around on like 50% of this album.
Yeah, so when I first started listening to the songs, I don't think I've talked about that. I listened to songs. I was busy at a conference, so I wasn't able to listen to it at midnight, wasn't able to listen to it at 2:00, wasn't even able to listen to it when I got up because I didn't want to listen to it half-assed. I didn't want to like listen to it while I was getting ready. So I was like, once I get to the airport, I'll listen to it. And so I'm at the airport, I'm just like really exhausted, really stressed out just about life, about everything. And it just wasn't fitting my mood. Even though, yes, I was sad, I didn't want something that was sad. And she was telling us it was going to be sad. Like, we all knew that. So it was really hard for me to really dig in. And I was also doing a paternity test on everything. But once I kind of, like, stepped out from that, thanks to – there's this girl I follow. She listens to our podcast. I believe it's Holly. Once I kind of stepped out from, like, a paternity test and just, like, looked overall at the writing and really took it as poetry – I was like, okay, I like this. And there were songs that like didn't hit it the first time, but really hit the second time. And I was like, okay, I could relate to stuff. I was bopping around and down bad. I'm going to get you back. There are so many other songs that I would, like, that I didn't appreciate because I was so focused on how it just kind of all melded together. I wasn't focusing on the writing. I was focusing on the sound because it's music. I wanted something to shake my booty to.
Yeah.
But I liked it, but I still will be very open with after, like, once we get into the second album, I do kind of fall off after. I think, like, Thank You, Amy, or I look in people's windows and I'm like, okay, I need to devote time to certain sections. Cause I always start off at the first part. And then by the end, I'm like, I can't.
Yeah, no, it's not really, I feel like it's hard to listen in one sitting, like just straight through. So yeah, I find myself gravitating towards subgenres in it of like, oh, these are sort of more upbeat or sort of scream along, and these are the background noise ones, and these are the ones that literally could make me tear up if I thought about them too closely. And so I do feel like that's sort of what she's done. She's built this buffet of moments and metaphors and stories, and so it can be both, it can be discombobulating when we're put into it and we're kind of like, in Fortnite, you're like, what the hell is going on? What are you talking about? And then all the way down to Robin, you're like, what? Who is Tiger? Like, what are we singing about here?
That's why I really enjoyed some of her Amazon commentary. Amazon?
Yeah, she did it on a few different things, I think.
Well, she was like saying that, like, basically, like, on Fortnite, it's, I was really diving into the fact where, like, you thought you'd gain the American dream and you ended up with someone you weren't happy with. The guy you were happy with was somebody else. Like, you're seeing someone else with the love of your life and you're just constantly reminded about that. And so then I looked at it at that, like, the poetic side.
Yeah.
And her writing, and I was like, okay, I need to look at it differently because her writing style has changed so much throughout the past 7 years. And I'm like, okay. Yeah. And I need to rewire my brain.
Because there's elements of, like, you know, All Too Well. Oh, we're talking about this Thanksgiving break with his family and we're going through his photo album and this is what happened, A, B, C, D, E. And you get some of that on here with, like, oh, like, Love of My Life or Fresh Out the Slammer or The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived. Like, you do get a lot of insight into her specific honest relationship. But a lot of these songs are sort of, you're thrown into a metaphor, be it like an alien abduction or, you know, escaping to Florida after a crime. Like
the albatross.
Like, she's playing with the sort of storytelling elements of Folklore Evermore and with her personal life. And so I think it's messy. I think it's hard to appreciate on both a critical and general public level because there's so much going on and there's not really a lot of guidance through that journey. But I do think that there's some really cool and clever and beautiful songs happening here. And that the images, once you start to serve them, like, as individual dishes rather than a full course, you're like, oh, okay, yes, I'm like actually really into what you're talking about here with I can fix him, no really I can, or with how did it happen, how did it end, and the black dog and stuff, where you're getting these brutal stories that all connect but they also stand alone, I think.
So I do want to pick your brain about Thank You, Amy.
Oh, yeah.
What are your thoughts on the song?
Full stop. You know, I actually really, as soon as the double album came out and I scrolled down and I saw that and I saw the Kim capitalized, I was like, hell yeah, let's listen to this. I think it's very funny. I think it's very clever. I don't care that she still brings it up because, frankly, that's the least surprising thing Taylor Swift can do. Taylor Swift does not let go. She's warned us that she keeps maps of where she buries her hatchets. Yeah. And, like, of course she festers. And, of course, if she's writing about some other hurt, she's thinking about other hurts she's endured and writing about those. So I really don't – I don't care that she wrote about it again. I don't feel like I'm surprised that she's dragging it up again. Like, honestly –
So what? So my friend brought up a really good point about this. I think so. She was really taken back by the song, not because of she wrote it, but she brought her kid into the song. She like is now like, you know, your daughter's gonna come home and she's gonna be singing a song that only you and I know about. And so she was kind of just like, why are you bringing someone's child into this? Like,
does
leave
that
it
count?
Leave
like, that does it. That count? Like, I feel like bringing a child into it is more like, I don't know. Like, I've seen that argument on a few different like scandals, and I'm like,
I never thought about it until
she
said
it. Who's being hurt by this? Like, it's not like saying like, oh, Northwest likes me more than you, you stupid bitch. Like, you know, it's not like, it's not like, oh, Northwest looks more like her dad. Does that make you feel sad? You know, like, it's not actually bringing her kid into it. It's saying,
I'm sorry. It just registered in my mind what you just said. Okay, go ahead.
It's just like, I don't know. I don't see that. I feel like that, to me, that's a throwaway point. The bigger point is, isn't it going to suck that you can't escape me the way I can't escape you?
Yeah.
And I guess she's technically using a kid to prove that, but it's not naming names. It's not even like saying like, it's just like your kid's going to hear my song on the radio and you're going to hear it one day because like I write songs with narcotics in them and you can't escape me. It's not like I'm going to find your kid at school and I'm going to convince her that this song is greater than anything her dad has ever written. And you're just going to have to deal with that, you know?
Yeah. Like you're going to be watching her TikTok and my song in the background. Sorry about that.
I also do like this idea. Some people say like, oh, Kim is a red herring. And this is actually about like someone else, maybe someone blonde and
Someone
with another child. Yeah.
Yes. No, I actually was thinking that because like, because it's so blatantly obvious about Kim that I'm just like, what if it's not?
But then I'm like, wait. This is the girl who didn't think Lover in Neon was obvious in her Me music video. So I do think that there's a universe in which she's like, only the biggest fans are going to notice this. And also she cannot help herself. Like she cannot, like I can see her being like, I need Kim to know. Like I need her to know. Even if that costs the joke of the bridge.
I do find it funny that she's still coming, like she's coming very hard still after Kim, whereas I feel like the biggest perpetrator in the situation has always been Kanye. But he does have that buffer there because you don't think so? You think everything that happened, I mean, Kim did not get on that stage. Kim did not release the music video of her naked.
Yeah.
You think Kim was behind the editing? Was it because of Snapchat? Is that what?
Yeah. I mean, like, Kim used this as a storyline in Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
That's true.
And that's what launched the – she's like, she waited until the finale of that show to then post the edited Snapchats. And then she immediately was like, National Snake Day. So there is like, I think that's what pissed Taylor off is the snowball effect from not liking this song about her. Oh my gosh, Kim is the Maddie to Kanye's Joe. Like that's what's happening here. Is she was more mad about everything that happened after I made that bitch famous because it snowballed in a way that she could link straight back to this woman who shouldn't have had any bad blood with her to begin with.
Okay.
Like it's
that
like
makes sense.
Stay in your lane, bitch type thing. I'm sorry, I swore more. I'm like Taylor Swift. I'm like, I'm rated immature now. Like,
hey, it's our last episode, so give it to me.
But I do think it's like, it's kind of childish. I think it does make her look weaker to the general public because there was something cringy and embarrassing about Kim Kardashian using Taylor Swift songs in her stories or like having to admit that her kids like Taylor Swift and Taylor Swift not saying anything about it. But I also remember when Kim was like, I just think that's all behind us. Like, honestly, like, I just think it's all over. And so I can imagine being Taylor and being like, I'm sorry. I didn't get a sorry from you. You don't think this bruised me black and blue. And I'm not going to let you rewrite history like that.
Yeah.
And write the song. And I have a great time with it. So I love Petty Taylor. I love Immature Taylor. And I think this song existing is the least surprising thing that's that happened on this album.
Yeah. Yep. That's true.
But the one I do love, the one I think that, because all in all, I don't think this is like any of my favorites, but mm-hmm. I do absolutely love How Did It End? Mm-hmm. I think that is one of the most strongly written songs on this album. It's absolutely beautiful production. Thank you, Aaron Dessner. Mm-hmm. And I think it captures sort of that. I mean, everyone, yeah, just like this, you know, the only thing people care about is what happened and not what it did to you. Mm-hmm. And I think the way she plays that out in a song where she's like, I don't even know what happened. Like, I don't even know how this fell apart. Like, what am I supposed to say? Is really beautiful. So that's my favorite. Do you have a favorite?
Okay, let me look at the track list I just had in front of me. I really like Clara Bow. Like, Clara I don't Bow, know yeah. why. Clara Bow, not Bow. I really like that one.
You look like Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift. Like, yeah, I really like it. It's one of it's the really most good. Simplistic songs
yeah.
on the album. It's not as wordy. And maybe that's because I have ADD and my mind can't, it's going all over places, but I love what she's saying about like the music industry and how they're always looking to replace somebody. I love yeah. how she ends it with "You look like Taylor Swift, but with more edge." Like, I love that she ends it with that.
Yeah.
I thought it was like really good. And she ends the first album on that. That's the last song
yeah.
on the album. And I love that it's not about Maddie. It's not about Joe. It's more about it's herself and her processing how, you know, everyone's constantly trying to replace her and replace the it girl.
Yeah.
So I like that. I love Down Bad. It's a messy song, but I love it.
I know. Yes. It's great. And it's like more metaphorical, so I can excuse it, you know?
Yeah.
It's about an alien abducting you.
When I first listened to it, I wrote down like, alien abduction? What? But now I'm like, I like dance to it around the house. Like I like Down Bad.
Yeah.
And yeah. I like Florida.
Florida.
Okay. I'm saying Florida wrong because I always say Florida. But now I'm like Florida.
Florida.
Florida. Yeah. I really like I've heard people saying that Florence and Taylor don't really mesh really well together.
Oh, I love them.
Yeah, I love them together. That I love the great. Whole idea of course watching Dateline. That's where her inspiration came out of it. Emma Stone sent her a text message that said Florida's a hell of a drug. Like, I really do like that song a lot. Like,
what going do you mean? Somewhere to she said that?
Well, she has a credit on the album.
Oh, she does.
And so rumor has it is that the song took inspiration from a text. Also, like that lyric, it was an inspiration from a text that Emma sent her.
But why did the theory of it being a text, like, have we seen that text?
I have no idea. I have not seen that text, but that's what people are saying.
And how do we know that that's what Emma said in the song? What if Emma said, Destin?
she has know. A townhouse in Destin. I don't know. It's just what I've heard. They're like, oh. I don't know if she said it somewhere, but I haven't had time to look into all these things.
No, that's fair.
I do like, and I love, I think Florence sang the intro song, the theme song to The Affair on Showtime. And I really like that intro song and whoever sings it. And it reminds me of Florence. I love Florence's voice. I love the way she sings. Mm-hmm. I love everything about her. So I felt like that song was really was good. Fun.
Yeah. I also really like, oh my gosh, I just forgot. That's the other problem is I can't keep track of the names.
Yeah, that's it. That's like, my problem
I think
too.
This is the one.
That's a huge problem for me. Is I'm like, I don't know.
Okay, let me run through it again. I thought So Long London was good. Really sad. I don't listen to it a lot, but it's like Cornelia Street.
Do you feel like that's like the saddest song on the album? Like, is that a track five? What song would you put there?
I think How Did It End literally makes me tear up if I listen to it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's so sad.
Even
but I think it
makes
sense as a track five.
Yeah.
And And then I really like the manuscript. And I think mm-hmm. it's really clever that she ends Dear Reader. She uses Dear Reader in Midnights. And then bookends this chapter with the manuscript where she's like, I wrote all these and they're no longer mine. Like, you know, like I made my heartbreak into art and that's going to heal me. And that's like enough. And I think, I don't know. I just really love the instrumentation and stuff too. And that's when I keep going back to. I think it's just like really beautiful and light and kind of like that deep breath before you like move on. So you like the first half more, it sounds like.
Well, that might just be because I listen to it. Whenever I listen to this album, I listen starting on the first one.
Oh, now you got to start on track 16 or something.
I need to start track 17, Black Dog. Like, I think that like...
Oh, Black Dog is so good.
I falter off after like, how did it end? I get to Thank You, Amy. But my mind starts running in different places, like just thinking about life. That like, it's not that I don't like this half. It's I don't think I'm giving it its credit because I have it on Apple Music as just one whole track list.
Yeah, yeah.
No, so I'm not switching. So when I go pick up Cora, I will start on the Black Dog. Skip, and then I will skip the first album. It's more that I've like given more of my attention to the first half of it. And that's my fault.
Yeah, no, I can see that. But no, I did want to say... we talked about Thank You, Amy. The other mm-hmm. controversial song that I literally cannot listen to is, ironically, I Hate It Here. I don't know if you've read this, seen it, heard it.
People are having a problem with how she, when her friends ask what time period she wants to be in. It's she wants so to be in the 1830s without the race, without slavery.
Without all the racists.
And without...
She's like, off. Without all the racists. And the girls married off for a dollar. I get what she's saying in the song. Like, I don't want to like spread fake news by being like, by saying the sentence ends there. I know she ends up saying like, oh, but I actually wouldn't want to live there. And nostalgia is a hell of a drug and it's dangerous. And like, we're all romanticizing these past things when really they're not as good as you remember type thing. Blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. I just do not trust Taylor to be the one to wield race as a as a storytelling tool. Mm-hmm. I don't think she's earned the right, and I think people are right to feel taken aback by someone who really hasn't ever kind used her words, her words to mm-hmm. stand against racism. She might have done it in action or whatever with her backup dancers and her politics or whatnot, but she was once accused of being an Aryan princess and never made a statement against that.
Yeah.
And so I just don't think she had any business trying to use that as like a, I'm not like other kids. Like, I'm so precocious, mm-hmm. aren't I? Like, I got it. I got it even back then, guys.
Yeah.
And I think that was a terrible, terrible, terrible misstep for her. And even if you end up liking the song or the message of the song, she mm-hmm. could have written literally any other element to get that point across and it would have worked better.
Do you think that if she wouldn't have written that line, like she just would have said like, I want to go to 1830s and just...
Oh, I don't think she should have said that either.
Okay. Yeah. Well, okay. That's what,
I think it was like, I understand the game. That's something we all did as kids. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe she could have said like, oh, I wish I had been born in the 80s with like punk princess or something. Or maybe, I don't know. I think it's tough to talk about going back when so much of today's politics in America are like, make America great again. Mm-hmm. And there's just a lot of negative connotations to that.
Mm-hmm.
Which again, she might be dialing into, but I think she could have used a game of MASH or something to get her point across. You know, like, I think another one that does it better, the nostalgia thing better, is the So High School, which mm-hmm. is like a very fun song about like all these cliches of playing like, oh, kiss, marry, kill, but I think we'll do, or kiss, marry. What is, how does she do it? Yeah, kiss, marry, kill, but I think
marry, kiss, we'll do all three. Kill me.
Yeah.
just a game, but I'm
better. And I think that is sweet. And she talks about all these cliches of like high school experience, and that worked better both as a nostalgia and as this like visual for who she is and the high school experience you'd expect her to have. But that felt like a major misstep, and it was just her trying to get points, and I don't think it was appropriate, and I feel really like eye roll about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're not the only one. I've seen lots of articles on my Facebook all about it. Yeah. I did think it was like a weird lyric though. Like when she said that, I was like, oh. Like,
yeah, just, no, it was,
yeah.
It took you out of it. What's the one that's like, what's the one that's like me and my ghost in a tree, D-Y-I-N-G?
Oh, I love that. No, it's not. How did it end?
No, it's not. How did it?
No.
Maybe it is. How did it end? I'm obsessed with that song, so it probably is.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yes, let me see. I just want to see if that is. No, I don't see it. But I know what you're talking about. Dying. I don't know. This is hard. This hard thing. I like the song's just everywhere. I'm like, I don't know where it is.
On the second half. Is that the prophecy or? Okay, wait. I wrote it down here. Oh yeah, no, it is. It's How Did It End?
Oh, I just didn't see it. I know, I'm just like scrolling over the lyrics right now.
Yeah. That was like probably my I just came back to that song. I'm sorry. I'm too obsessed. No,
there's just a lot of good there. I see it. My beloved ghost in me sitting in a tree, D-Y-I-N-G.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good stuff on here. And I feel like because there's so much, there's a lot of stuff that gets overlooked. And then you're like, oh, but what about this? But what about this? I'm excited to see what she does with it on tour. I think she'll probably, my hope is that we'll see a section dedicated to it, like maybe like 3 or 4 songs dedicated to it. I know it's a big long tour, but I think there are some songs she can cut out.
I don't think she'll cut anything. Ones. You know what?
Whatever she cut from the actual movie, I'm just thinking maybe she'll play along. Or will she just play along with it throughout the rest of the tour? Will she like take a song out here, add a song here, like take 2 songs out here, next show, play those 2 songs?
I think she has too much corporate synergy to mess with what's been labeled the Eras Tour. I think the merch all has her 10 eras. The artwork is all her 10 eras. Her whole movie is the 10 eras. So if someone's watching it on Disney and then suddenly there's a whole new section in the back half of the tour, I don't see her doing that.
Well, there has been some rumors, though, that she's added a new mic and that there is a TTPD, TTBD sign on one of the posts, one of her photos from practicing on tour. So there are rumors that who knows? That's why I'm excited.
I know. It's going to be everyone's waiting is like, oh, is she going to tour this? Oh, is she going to add it? I feel like she's saying the chapter's done.
Bonus songs. She has 31 songs to get out there as the bonus songs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she'll be like, okay, guys, we're starting tonight. We'll be done by the end of tour.
Yeah, exactly. No reusing, rehashing. No repeats those songs.
Happening.
Yeah.
Sorry to the crowd that gets Robin, but I'm sure I'm sorry to someone. Just kidding. I know people like that song.
I don't even remember it.
It's like that one's inspired by Aaron Dessner's son, who has a son named Robin. And he calls him Tiger. And so it's like basically like never grow up, but like 2024 version, you know? Okay. It's the one that's like, way to go, Tiger.
I remember that now. Okay, you're so good. You're so good.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
I know, we've got to wrap this up. I think the hardest thing is going to be not having this excuse to video call all our thoughts about Taylor Swift.
We'll just have to text more.
Yeah. Are you on Marco Polo? I'll start podcasting to your Marco Polo.
I am on Marco Polo. So just, you know, tell me your thoughts and your feelings.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
It's, it's ending, but like you and I are not ending. So yeah, like, exactly. It's not goodbye for me and you. So I'm not like, oh, I'm so sad I'll never see Shelby again.
Yeah. No, we're lucky. It's our fans who will be bereft with.
We'll miss our fans, but you know, there are, and what I've liked about this, I have some online friendships with people who like message me things. So like I've created friendships through this podcast. And so it's sad to kind of like close that chapter on like creating new memories.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I can't stop talking about Taylor. It's my curse.
Yes.
So I sometimes talk about her on my Substack, which is just shelbyboyer.substack.com.
Sometimes.
A lot of stuff, 50% of my content. Anytime I post Taylor Swift, I lose about 5 followers and I gain about 3. So we're getting there, you know, we're balancing the score. But no, I mean, this has been such a important piece of my adulthood, like 2017 to now, that's as long as my marriage. And I think there's just been so much fun from this, both building like a community online, but then also you and I having the excuse to attend tours together, even when we're like driving to Dallas, getting upgraded. Like there's so many fun things that have come from this, most of all our friendship.
I know. And the friendships that we've made with other, like Leah, my friend Leah would never be friends with her. Like there's so many things come out of this. And I'm like, oh, my life would have been so different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, we still have to figure out exactly how to close this down. Hopefully the catalog will still be up for a little bit. And obviously you can still, in the meantime, talk to us on our socials at Swiftish Podcast on Instagram, or send us an email at swiftishpodcast@gmail.com. And maybe your notes will warm our cold, dead hearts, and we'll come around on some of these songs or whatnot. But I mean, I don't even know how to close it. It's just
because there's not a next time.
I know. It's too bad. Well, man, if only Taylor Swift had heard some of these soliloquies, then maybe we'd be Taylor Nation sponsored by now.
I know.
If this could be our full-time gig, then it wouldn't be ending, you know?
Exactly. Yep.
So
exactly.
If anyone out there knows Taylor, just let her know there's two podcast hosts who are now free for official business. So
official business.
Yeah.
But there won't be a next time.
Yeah, I know.
Taylor, we have had the time of our lives fighting dragons with you.
Oh my gosh. So sweet.